Welcome to the RD2B podcast. Each week, we sit down with a different registered dietitian nutritionist to showcase the diversity of opportunity in the dietetics profession. Our aim is to dismantle the notion that there is a traditional career path. I'm Carl Barnes, the registered dietitian behind the scenes of RD2B.
And I am Jenna Warnock, the RD2B host. Our RD guests share their stories, career paths, and advice to help students like us succeed in the profession.
Welcome back to another week of the RD2B podcast. I'm your host, Jenna, and this week we're super excited to feature another second career changer, and actually we can talk about third career changer dietitian, and she's based in North Carolina, which is really, really great, just kind of with that connection. But this week we're going to feature a rather unique dietitian. Her name's Jessica Beardsley, and she's currently a private practice and third career dietitian, where she first began as a biomedical engineer, and then she switched to graphic design, and then she finally landed with dietetics, where she now owns her own business and specializes in weight inclusivity as well as sports nutrition. But Jessica, thank you so much for spending time to just talk about your very interesting and like little, you know, career path of sorts. But yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, Jenna, I'm excited to have this conversation.
Yes, and like just hear all the things that you have to say about your experience and things like that. And so just, and again, I mean, one of the most obvious questions we do like to start with is, what initially got you interested in biomedical engineering as your first career? So kind of starting from the beginning where biomed started.
Yeah, great question. And it's funny, it's like one of those things that you think about in high school or you know, like when you're thinking about college, you kind of have an idea of what you want to do. And I was like a math and science kid. I loved physiology, biology, chemistry, math. And so it kind of like, that's like the, you know, I did an engineering camp in high school at NC State. And so I got to like try out all these different types of engineering, like chemical, industrial, mechanical, electrical, and then biomed. And I loved that one. It was like, oh my gosh, this is where like engineering meets human, like anatomy. And I like, that's just fascinating. And it feels more commonplace now, but I think when I was getting ready to go to college, like that was new. Anyways, my grandpa had a pacemaker, and I remember it was massive, but like you could see it through his skin, and they like it had transformed over the years so much that it's like it was like a button, like it has just changed. Like engineering was just fascinating in that way. I'm just like, you know, we can work on these things and create these things to help people. And so I, yeah, chose biomedical engineering for my undergrad.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of cool how like the pacemaker was something that you found interesting, and how that does, I mean, in a roundabout way, does relate to dietetics in the sense of like, you know, cardiovascular, things like that, all that jazz. So, I mean, even at the beginning, there was a little sprinkle of like nutrition and dietetics at the beginning. And then your career path from biomed does kind of like have its own little transition of sorts, you know, because for most, you know, career changers, it's like, oh, I did like marketing for 10 years and then I like nutrition, so then I switched. But then for you, you kind of had like a slow progression to dietetics. And so can you kind of explain how your transition from biomed, and I mean, first it was graphic design, but kind of like where did your decision to switch out of biomed, where did that start?
Yeah, great. So I went from undergrad to graduate school, also in bioengineering. And sorry, I'm going to go back and forth and say biomedical engineering and bioengineering. They're the same thing. In different, you know, universities will call it different things. But so I went to graduate school and I was in a PhD program and I was doing research. And I was in, unfortunately, a windowless lab, like alone. Let me just say that's not a great place for anyone to be. Maybe some people thrive in that kind of arena. Anyways, doing research and doing like, you're hyper focused on like a teeny tiny thing. So I was studying cardiac mechanics. So still in the heart realm. And while there was a lot of very cool things there, I missed people. Like I missed working with people. And so what I was working on was like this drop in the bucket of knowledge where eventually it would like maybe expand to something where it's like, we can use this for X, Y, and Z. And so I struggled. Like it was, I didn't love what I was doing. I didn't love the classes that I was, I mean, it was hard. And it was like, I'm not, should I even be here? Do I even want to get a PhD? I think I finally figured out the answer was no, but it was tough. So to leave something that you've started. And so I had, there was, because a lot of folks in graduate school question whether they should be there, there was like a whole support group and like about like, should I stay in this program or not? Do I finish the PhD or not? So I went through a whole bunch of questioning, like you can take tests and kind of figure out like, well, where are my passions and my skills and where does that kind of lead me? And there were some indicators at that point that I should probably have gone towards dietetics at that point, but I ended up doing, I've always also been a creative person and love the arts. And so going into graphic design, which I felt like was like a full 180, I was like, I'm going to go this direction. And so I did. and I left graduate school. That was hard. I entered into like a certificate program to learn graphic design. And then I ended up working in graphic design and in advertising for 4 years. And I loved it. I love that space. If anyone's ever been in that space, it's a bunch of creatives and you're wackadoodle and it's wonderful. Like it's kind of this great space as well. But I was still missing. I missed the science. I missed the math. I missed the people. Once again, I came back to those things. And so at that point, I started questioning things again. I was like, no, not again. I was like, oh my goodness. Taking the most roundabout way. And so there was a lot of different, my husband was taking sabbatical and I was like, great, me too. We both basically went on sabbatical from jobs. And I volunteered at a nonprofit with my sister-in-law who is a dietitian. So little, you know, there. And then I kept researching and researching and reading as much as I could. And I think hearing more from folks who it was a second career, that was actually really like encouraging to hear. Cause then I felt like, okay, I'm not the only one to come at this as what I would call like in my adult phase versus like folks who come in right from when they're, you know, 18 and they're ready to be a dietitian and go into school and do that. But, so it was a long bendy road and here we are.
Yeah, no. And I think it was definitely like a pendulum where, you know, like you swing one way, you know, all the way to a PhD and then you swing all the other way to graphic design. And then like dietetics is like the perfect in between where you can be a creative, but you still have the foundation of science and stuff. So I think, and you get the people. And so it's like, it just sounded like a great balance and like it hit the right nerve at that point. And like, when you explaining your whole process, I just kind of had like two little questions that popped up. And so whenever you had those resources, whenever you were through your PhD about, you know, contemplating, okay, is this the right path for me? Is this what I should be doing? Do you have first for, and given that you had that, you know, that thought process of should I be doing this? What am I doing with both biomed and graphic design? Mm-hmm. Did your first kind of experience of contemplation, did that make the second time a little bit easier or did that come with its own separate like struggles? Like if you were to compare your first, yeah, because then that question just popped up. So I understand that's a bit of a curveball, but just that's something that popped up where like if you saw any big differences or anything that popped out between the first and second, or like just commonalities.
I will say that when I did it the first time, I was 23, 24. How old was I when I left? I can't remember. But then the second time around, I had some life with, like, I had more experience. So I was older. I knew a bit more about myself. I had worked in another, like I had done the day-to-day, like I had seen other folks in their careers. So I came to it with a different perspective. And I'm curious, actually, okay. So I like to say like the second time I went to grad school for nutrition, I was so excited about like a big nerd. I love school. I wanted to learn as much as I can about everything that I possibly could. I took as many classes as I could. Like, I took as many opportunities as I could. And I was so excited about it because I finally was like, yes, dietetics, this is what I wanted. This is where I need to be. And I finally found it at age 30 or 31, however old I was. And when I went through grad school the first time, like, I was so young. I mean, I think there's just like, if I had taken a gap year, if I had taken some time to work and then decided to go to graduate school, it would have been different. And I wish I had that, a bit of perspective from that. So.
Yeah, definitely. And perspective goes a long way. Just like with, and that's why I feel like, and what I really appreciate is, for me personally, I'm in my professional development seminar right now for dietetics. And, you know, that's like the career planning. Where are you going to go? Grad school combined, you know, given that there's a bajillion options out there now, it's kind of like, which one are you going to choose? And what I really appreciate is that they do highlight gap years as an option. And they've been kind of highlighting, like, you can do a lot of growth with a gap year. And we had a panel where one of the current grad students at our school, she took a gap year, and it was the best decision of her life. Because had she not, yeah, because had she not taken that gap year, she would have, because she was so burnt out from undergrad, she needed a break. She needed to save, it just checked all the boxes of, she needed to save money. She needed to build her resume. And like, it's very much so like, a gap year can be incredibly beneficial, and it's not just, you know, you slacking off and not being productive, right? Because it can just set you off for such great success. And then the second question I kind of had regarding your whole journey and the resources that you had to kind of help you transition, you said that you had a support, you know, you kind of had like people in the similar support system of like, you know, figuring out, is grad school right for me, and like kind of taking these quizzes and things like that. And so as far as resources go, say that someone's listening and they're like, yeah, I really do want to switch to dietetics, but I don't know how to confirm if it's the right path. Do you have any resources, or do you have any things that you would recommend? And I mean, especially because you did it twice, do you have any things that you recommend? Do you have anything that you recommend people to kind of like maybe learn more about themselves with, or like specific resources that you would advise people to kind of dive into to make sure that's a good transition? Because I think you have, and yeah. I say that coming from a place of, you have great insight and you have great wisdom about the experience. And so just if you have any specific advice or pointers towards that.
Gosh. Oh yeah. Know thyself, right? Which is like a lifelong thing. I'm like constantly learning about myself. I'm thankful I had, okay, so in the first time around when I was like fresh out of undergrad and went to grad school and I was like, ah, they had us take these different, like one of those like tests, you know, like there's a gazillion out there right now and I can't remember what it was called. And I remember it was like a lengthy test. And then they came out with like, here are some careers that like, you know, with the things that you like and with the things that you're skilled in, here's kind of what matches you. And I think those are helpful, and just like maybe think about some different things. Dietetics, I don't remember being on there. And that's why I was like, would it have changed things if it was? But there are, I think here's the thing, in dietetics are so many different avenues that you can go down. So it's like, there's not just this diet, all dietitians do this one thing. Absolutely not. So I would say doing tests like that can be helpful in just learning about yourself and kind of seeing where you land. The other place would be things like this, where you can hear other dietitians talking about certain things. And if you know, like my sister-in-law is a dietitian, she has very different diet, like what she does and what I do are very different, but it was still really helpful to talk with someone who has gone through it and has been there and done that. Even if her interests are very different than mine. So I would say if you can get connected with other senior dietitians or like folks who've just gone through it, maybe they're brand new dietitians or maybe they've done it for 20 years, either way, just like talking through and getting to know folks and asking all the questions is so helpful. And I think, I mean, that's why I'm here. Like, I didn't know a ton and I didn't have a ton of help, but I did have support. As in like, I didn't know a lot of dietitians, but I did have support in everywhere else in my life. And I was really thankful for that.
Yeah, and the definite key takeaways that I'm hearing is like do a self-assessment, whether it's through like, you know, an online quiz or just kind of like sitting. And T-charts are my best friend. Every time that I've had an existential crisis, I always do T-charts, and it's like pros and cons and just like things
Right.
like that. I always find that if you can't find a, you know, survey out there, T-charts can save your life. But then also like expanding and like kind of sticking your feet, getting your feet wet into this like systems and networks of the field that you're interested in going into, like with dietetics. And the thing that I would say, and this is a great testament to just why you're on the podcast, you were so willing to share your story. And I feel like that's so true just with every dietitian out there, because we're such a giving profession that I feel like no matter whose email or whose LinkedIn you find, like 98% sure, if you reach out to someone being like, hey, this is my, like, I want to switch a career to dietetics, would you be willing to chat for like 20 minutes? I can almost guarantee you they're going to be like, oh my God, yes. And you like, cause I feel like we are such a good giving profession, and it's, and we're like a lucky profession to where we can take advantage of like just reaching out to a dietitian and that they'd be willing to just share as much knowledge as humanly possible to you in case, you know, if you're curious about switching to dietetics, which is really, really great. And so, then kind of going to like, once you were able to like land in dietetics and then, you know, you felt like you hit your niche and it was just like, great, like, you know, and I'm sure you just had that long time coming where you're like, okay, finally, it's like, I got the people, I got the science, I got the creativity, you know, just all those good things. From your previous, and I'm sure that like we've kind of alluded to this because, you know, you went heavy science and then heavy creative and then you found something in the middle. But are there specific skills that like jumped out that kind of transferred over with you to dietetics from both like biomed or graphic design or both?
Yeah, I mean, the physiology and biochem, of course. I'm like, man, do we get a lot of that? And it's funny because I was like, man, second time through, I really enjoyed it. I was like, you know, the first time through is like you learn. And when you're going in for dietetics with the life that I'd already had, it made it even more, I was more excited to learn about it. That's not even what you asked. But anyways, I'll say that. so skills and just, and I mean, other than the science part, which like just naturally drew me and brought me, I was like, great, I don't have to take any prereqs because I've taken all of them. I got to just jump into grad school, which was pretty great. And the graphic design piece, I mean, I realized I learned so much about visual communication. And I realized I make a lot of handouts because a lot of our, the folks I work with are also like to be able to describe something or to be able to show them something that is way more impactful. And so I make a lot of visuals for folks, or I try to create handouts. So like, I would say graphic design, like direct transfer for sure. I think a lot of dietitians who work in that kind of area where they're doing education and counseling will use a lot of handouts. And so some of them, yeah, like are getting really good with Canva or will create their own or da da da. So there's, I think those skills transferred directly.
Oh yeah. And again, it's just like, it was definitely just part of that sweet spot where I feel like, you know, you got such a strong foundation in, I mean, like biomed that really helped you with a good science foundation, but then like, yeah, visual communication. And that really does help with clients actually receiving and understanding it better, which is really great because you have super complicated stuff with science paired with, you know, visually appealing stuff through graphic design. And that's really an effective way that you can like deliver those things to your patients and clients, which is really great. And you talked about, and what I do kind of want to like dive deeper into is, in which this is why I feel like a lot of people who are like interested in career changing, this is the biggest thing that holds them back or makes them like kind of averse to doing it, is they're, you know, they're so invested in their current career or they're so invested in what they're currently doing that they're like, okay, is it worth just cleaning the slate and just kind of like jumping into this new unknown territory? And so you mentioned, especially with the first transition to graphic design, that you were in a PhD program. It is, and like, especially once you get that far in, it's just kind of like, and again, like you mentioned how there were support systems out there where there are people in your shoes contemplating, should I stick to this or should I not, you know? And so for you, and like, preparing and actually going through that transition, you did mention like how you took those surveys and how you did a little self-assessment and how you kind of like had that footing of like, yeah, I'm not in the right place. I do feel like a lot of people do understand and have that feeling, but they're still like kind of iffy to make that jump. And so for you with making that jump, how did you prepare for that transition? And like, what specific things did you like do to help you like actually commit to that goal of switching careers?
Oh my God. Okay. So getting rid of the fears of the unknowns, because they're very real. Well, I will have to say, okay, perfect honesty. I think I was trying to like leave a foot on the, well, like, let me just dip my toe in the water and like kind of hold on to this. It's really hard to just up and leave, especially when you have no idea if this is going to turn into anything good and then you're going to regret it. I was like, I'm taking a leave of absence from my program. And I think they knew at that point, they're like, she's not coming back. and I didn't, but it was like, okay, I think more like, you know, if you want a safety thing, if you can take a leave from your position, like that feels like easier because still safer, to, instead of like completely taking the jump. Although I think now if I were to talk to someone, I would say, take the jump, because if you follow this road down the path that you're going and you just see it getting harder and harder and just not sustainable, you're like, I'm not happy here. I'm not passionate about what I'm doing. This, it's either the people or the work or the whatever it is that's just like this, I could keep doing this for 20 more years and just not never really be fulfilled. Then that's something to consider. Is it just that particular position that you're in, or is it like, I actually need to go into a completely another world? I often think that asking those who know you best is also really helpful, because they can be like, girl, you're not happy there. You're not happy there. Like, you should be doing X, Y, Z. Like, ask the people you trust and love and that know you really well. Because I think if you are having a tough time internally because it is so scary, then trusting those who know you really well to say like, yeah, you don't need to be doing this anymore. And then I think as many of us are very like planning, knowing exactly what that road ahead actually looks like. And with dietetics, it's like, it could be a coordinated program. It could be school. And then, you know, X, Y, Z, it could look different ways, but like, at least having that feels like you have some court control over it. Yeah.
And I think just, yeah, especially given, because another thing too is if you're a type A organized planning personality, dietetics is the right place for you. And just like, if you already like planning and things like that, it is good to kind of like, again, you can't plan every single thing out, but because there's so many different ways you can become a dietitian now and there's so many different paths, having a plan of, hey, after I leave this career, I'm not just going to like sit on my butt and like wait until the RD credential comes, you know, and like definitely none of us are like wired like that anyways, but it's good to just be like, hey, after I do this, or like, you know, after I take a leave of absence, I'm going to try this, or I'm going to like experience this, and you know, things like that. And so kind of going more towards into, because my goal with this is we're kind of like following your process, you know, like thoughts you had, advice, things like that. And so now, you know, we're at the point where it's like, you make that jump, you make that transition. And this, I kind of want to focus is the transition from graphic design to dietetics, because that's more applicable to, you know, just kind of whenever it comes to understanding programs to choose and understanding, you know, like how you went through the transition process specifically while being in school. Because another thought or question I had coming up was, I'm sure another fear that people have is, okay, well, how am I going to afford this? How am I going to like afford this transition and kind of be able to make it through till the end to get the RD credential? And so could you walk us through a little bit how you decided the program you chose and the way that you were able to like financially, mentally, spiritually, just all those things, how you were able to like get through your education to become an RD? And again, if like, because for lots of second career people, I've heard different perspectives where it's like, oh, they just work 60 hours a week, you know, they busted their butt and like they were able to do that. Some people, it was like, oh, I moved in with family, was able to save money that way. So it's very much we want to hear as many different perspectives as possible, and every single one is completely valid. Because, I mean, I'm sure for some people, there's like the stigma where it's like, oh, if you don't work hard to get it, you know, like, or if you don't like, if you're not on your own the whole time, then you didn't really like work as hard as other people. But really, everyone's journey is different. And I'm really just saying that because just in case there's a stigma behind like, oh, I actually didn't have to work because I had this support system. Whereas, you know, you have another person where it's like, I didn't have a support system, so I was completely on my own. That's just a long-winded way of saying, no matter what your response is, it's a judge-free zone.
Nice, thanks. Yeah, so I'm like hearing you, and I'm like, yep, I went to school, like when I went to grad school, a lot of us were second careers, and it was just interesting. Some folks kept working, some folks were working part-time, some were not working at all, and were just fully focused. Yeah, so hear you. And yes, I had the privilege and the benefit, like I was so lucky, I had support of my husband who had a full, like, we were able to look at our finances and go, okay, I can go to grad school and not work at this. Like I, so what I did do is I got like a TA and like two, I was a TA a few semesters, which was really helpful. So as a TA, it depends. Like sometimes it was full tuition coverage plus a little stipend. Sometimes it was half, like it depends. And if you can get an RA, even if you're into research and get RA, even better. But I was able to do that. I was able to pick up as much of that as I could, but not every semester. So sometimes I was just, yeah, like we're paying what it costs. I went to Georgia State University, and at that time we were living in Atlanta. So Georgia State is state university, which means it's very affordable if you live in state and if you are a resident. So I was like super thankful for Georgia State. They are great. They had a coordinated program, so I could do it all in one place. I was also very thankful for that, because then I'm not having to worry about the matching. So like, I just felt super blessed to be there. So that worked out really, really well. I'm trying to think if there was, answering all pieces of your question. I think that was it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And I think that was a great just kind of checkbox, because the really biggest thing with that question is mainly just highlighting, like, do you have current, again, social support systems, or do you have current support systems that you can lean on through this transition that can help you, like, with money, or that can help you with kind of, like, getting through that little tough 2-3 year period? And again, highlighting, like, coordinated programs and highlighting the fact that you don't have to go completely back to an undergrad, work 6 years to get to the RD credential. It's very much like with what you said, given that you had a previous degree in biomed, you didn't have to take any, like, you didn't have prereqs that you had to do, which was really great. Yeah, so you just, like, had to go straight into the coordinated program and, like, boom, good to go. Where if you are a career changer, dietetics, they're shifting a lot of their accreditation so that all you have to do is take a handful of prereqs, get into a 2-year program, knock your, like, coursework out, your supervised practice out, and like take the RD exam all in like 2-3 years total. And so I'm really great that you highlighted that as well, like with like focusing on in-state, and like if you do have a support system that you can have to where you can just focus on school, lean into that. But if not, TA positions, research positions, if you can, like there's a lot of great resources and ways that you can like kind of be like, again, like with what you said, you got some classmates that were part-time, some that had to work full-time, like it's very much a mixed bag, but it was kind of great that you had a lot of career changers in your cohort, I'm sure, because it was very relatable and just kind of like you had a support system. And so like the common theme here is like support, lean on the support, and that's totally fine, which is totally like, it's so great to highlight that, because I do feel like, especially with career changers, it feels like, oh, I'm on my own with the whole thing, because it's my decision to change careers. Therefore, it's my decision to take all the repercussions. But it's like, no, you have like, for example, like if you have a significant other, they're there to support you. If you have family, they're there to support you. And you said yourself, your family and your support system personally, they helped you make that. They were the biggest factor that helped you make that leap. And so I think it's just all super great things to highlight, and just kind of good reminders and pieces of advice that if someone's interested in switching to dietetics, or someone who even just recently switched to dietetics, they can just have that like feeling of security that like don't worry, you're doing the right thing, things will be okay. But yeah, so just, I do think we really flushed out a really great amount of information just about your path from transitioning and just kind of like things you took along the way, good advice, things like that. And so now that we've kind of followed this whole process and you've gotten to like RD and, you know, where you're currently at now, and like you were finally able to get to that point. And so kind of like switching now to like where you're at now with your dietetics career, what would you say, given the transition, has been the most rewarding part?
Yeah, I will say that when I was like a baby dietitian, like one thing I absolutely loved was working with people. I was like, yes, I get to work with people. And you get to come alongside them in their journey and they share their life with you. And if that's the, like, I do nutritional counseling, not everyone does, right? So it's like, depends on where you are, the dietitian. But this is what I wanted to do, and I wanted to do, and I love it, and I have not gotten sick of it. And I was like, one day I, you know, we'll probably move on to something else. But right now, in dietetics, of course, but right now, I work with people, and it's like my favorite thing. Because you sit with them in their lows, and you celebrate with them in their highs, and you might bring a different perspective that they've never heard before. In my space of, you know, I'm a health at every size practitioner, I'm weight inclusive. And for them to hear from a dietitian that, you know, like let's unpack the food rules. Like, let's talk about diet culture and where it is. And like, that makes that, I feel like sometimes I might be the only voice that they're hearing that's kind of pushing back against some things that they have just grown up in and lived in. And so like, that's hugely rewarding to me. And to say like, yeah, I am here and I don't judge your food. Like that's not what I'm here for. And I love that. And so as a private practice dietitian, I've been doing this for about 3 years. As a private practice, before that I was, you know, I was working for someone, and I don't think I ever want to go back and work for anyone again. I will have to say, like, being as a entrepreneur, like just like creating my own thing, that was also really scary, but also the autonomy and the time is really valuable to me. And so being able to like control my time essentially, like, and create boundaries around that has been fantastic, and I love it. And so like no there's no like having to deal with someone else's time schedule for me. Like, nope, I'm doing that myself. I get to control that myself, and I love it. So getting to practice how I want to practice and be with the people, and then being able to have that balance of time so I can be with my family and pick my kids up from school and do all the things that I also want to do. So those, I think those are the rewarding experiences. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. Cause what's great is it kind of targets who you're helping, but you're also helping yourself in the process with that flexibility. And so it's just a helping everyone all around, which is really great.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you mentioned like this, the private practice part, and kind of like how even that was scary, and kind of going a little deeper into your private practice, why you started it, that whole process, because I'm sure for a lot of people, they're scared about making the transition to dietetics in of itself. But then you also took that step further and was like, okay, I'm going to start my own business as well. And so just like, you know, taking all of these big, like scary leaps. And then again, you've been able to see great benefit from doing so. And then just kind of like, again, we went through the process of your transitions to dietetics, but now going through your process of transitioning to a private practice business owner, can you describe what that looked like? What made you decide to do it? I'm sure people in counseling was a big proponent, but just kind of like going through your process of what made you decide to make that leap as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Great question. So I think there's a few big ones here. So one of them was being able to practice how I wanted to practice. So I was at a clinic that was very weight loss focused, and I realized more and more that I was like, I can't practice this way. And it felt like just grating up against my own boundaries, my own ethics. And so I was like, I do want to practice how I want to practice. So there was that. And then, yeah, the time autonomy. So like there were the negative things that were really pushing. I was like, okay, I need to start my own practice. But here's the scary thing about starting your own practice is like, what if it fails? I think that's the biggest thing. Because it can, right? Like, what if it fails and I don't know what to do? And as a dietitian, and I think many dietitians are kind of built this way of like, we are planners. We want to do everything right the first time. And we want, like, tell me what I can do to be successful and I will do that thing. And with your private practice, like, there's a lot of different ways to create your own thing. And there's no like, and if you do it this way, guaranteed success. Like, there's not just the one way. So I struggled with that. And I could not have done it with if it were not for I had a colleague friend who did it the year before I did. She started her own private practice, and that was huge to me. Like, I asked her a gazillion questions. It's like, well, what did you do for this? What did you do for this? Right? Like, you just don't know. I think that's the biggest fear, is like, you just don't know. And you will hear, if you listen to any webinars or any podcast about starting your own thing, we have a tendency to get paralyzed by perfection, like, or just analysis paralysis, right? And so we're just not going to make it. We just can't make a decision. But I would have to say, and I hate this because it's still really hard, is to just pick a lane and go that way. And then you'll find out if it's going to work out or not. And sometimes, like, it's fine. It kind of didn't matter which lane I picked. It would have been fine. I just needed to take a step forward. And so I ran up against that time again. And I eventually, like, yep, just take a step forward. I started my private practice in 2020 during COVID and all the things. And I would say, on the one hand, that's like, what are you doing? Why do you think you get clients out of the from nowhere? And at the same time, people were getting used to telehealth, and I could work from home, and I could be completely virtual, and people were getting used to that. And that was actually, I felt really lucky in that respect. So, you know, there will never be the perfect time. There will just be like right now.
No, absolutely. And I actually have heard just some people who, they're like, oh, I can start a private practice, or I can start my own business. Once I have the credential, I can like start blah, 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 blah. Once I hit this, it doesn't have to be just the credential, but maybe it's like, oh, once I've been a dietitian for 2 years, then I can get the credential, like, then I can start my private practice. Or like, we put like these mental roadblocks up where it's like, once I hit this checkpoint, then I'll be ready. When really it's like exactly what you said. No time's the right time. It's just the time that you do it. That's the right time.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that you highlighted, which it's so hard for us to like put into practice, where it's like, no, like, perfectionism is what's going to get you in the way of doing anything. And so, like, for you and your private practice, given that it started in 2020, I'm sure that that was fun in of itself, which is navigating that. But as far as like things that you had to kind of like troubleshoot, and I think it was great how you had that friend for support, and I think that's a great thing that people can learn from as well, where it's like, if you know someone who has any dealings or understanding in running their own business, doesn't have to be dietetics, it can just be any business owner,
anything. Yeah,
it's a great just kind of resource to have. And if not, again, dietetics is super giving. You can find a business owner online, and I'm sure that they'll be more than happy to like share information with you and things like that. But for you, were there any like big challenges and roadblocks that you had to like kind of sort through? Because we did focus on like the perfectionist mindset, and we did focus on how like you just had to pick something and like go that way. But does anything stick out to you regarding like certain roadblocks you had to hit? And if not, that's totally fine. But that was just a question that kind of popped up as well whenever you talked about your journey towards it.
Right. It's funny to think of the things I thought were huge roadblocks then. And I'm like, why was I so worried about it? It was like, and take insurance or don't take insurance. Which EMR am I gonna choose? I need to make my website perfect. What's my business name gonna be? Like, these things that I felt were like these massive things, like LLC or sole proprietorship, like just like these decisions. And most of them are decisions, and some of them are just like, just do something. That I look back at now, I'm like, yeah, it just take a step forward. But they slowed me down, right? And I wanted them to be perfect, or I wanted to make the right choice. And that's just I can kind of chuckle about that now, because I think if I were to talk to someone, I'd be like, it almost doesn't matter. Like, you just pick something, move forward.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because, like, from what you've talked about, like, the biggest difference is, like, you actually putting your business into action, you actually having those counseling sessions, you actually, like, doing what your business is meant to do. And even if you aren't sure where it's going to go, you know by doing. And I think it's great to give everyone that reminder as well. And kind of just going towards the bigger picture of your career, especially in dietetics, and just because you took a lot of different like checkpoints and like, you know, the whole squiggly line to kind of get to dietetics. Now that you've like reached like being an RD, and that, you know, you feel really secured in this profession, which is so great because, you know, it offers so many different avenues where it's like, say that, like with what you said, if you don't want to counsel patients anymore or clients, that's totally fine because there's a bajillion other things that dietitians can do. And so, you know, like the world's really your oyster with
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So now that you are an RD, how have you made sure that you've made the most of your switch to dietetics? And like, because we've talked about, I mean, I'm sure owning a business is a great example of that, but if there are other things that you've done that once you switch to dietetics, you were like, I'm gonna make the most of this switch because I worked my butt off and I'm gonna make sure like it was the best decision.
Yeah, great. I think one of the first things I wanted to, well, not one of the first things, something I feel like I've always been working on, and we don't get a ton of training in school, is on counseling skills. Like, because some people don't, they don't go into nutrition counseling, they do something else. And so, but I wanted to be a nutrition counselor from the get-go. So counseling, like motivational interviewing. So I did Molly Kellogg's motivational interviewing course, which she doesn't do, it was her last one. She's now doing internal family systems, which I also think would be highly, I would want to take that too. So doing courses where you're like, this is, I've done this for a while, I know I can get better, I'm gonna actually spend the time and money to do this thing. So I have found that highly valuable. I've been working with more eating disorder clients and wanting to hone my, just gain as much knowledge and hone skills as best I can. So I took Marcy Evans' eating disorder course as well, which took a lot of right time and money, but you commit that. I just feel like I'm very enriched from that. I'm constantly doing webinars. I love learning as much as I can. But I think one of the things that has helped me a lot is getting plugged in with other dietitians. Ah, RD2B. So like if you're part of the academy, because not everyone is, but if you're part of Academy of Nutrition Dietetics, you can be a part of DBGs, which are dietetic practice groups. So if you have a specific area that you're interested in or something that kind of makes you excited, I joined Nutrition Entrepreneurs when I was a student. No, I mean, I think I joined when I was a student, and I was like, I don't know if I want to be an entrepreneur. And like, here I am, like I'm an entrepreneur. But I was a part of that for a long time without doing anything in the entrepreneurial field. I was worked for someone else. I didn't, you know, do anything on the side, but I like highly recommend it, especially if you're like a little nervous about getting dipping your toe in that, is like, just get in, start to meet other people who are in that same realm. Cause you will meet other people. You're like, I'm not an entrepreneur. You're like, dude, neither am I. Like, it's great. We're all dietitians here. And so, meeting other people, I joined the board. So like, I was the newsletter editor for a few years ago, and right now I'm on the nominating committee, but it's a great group. So I would say it doesn't have to be nutrition entrepreneurs, although I'm a big fan, but any DPG, getting involved, you will meet other dietitians from all over, and they've been through similar stuff, and they've also been through different stuff, and you can learn so much from just like connecting. And so the other thing I would love to plug would be mastermind groups. And if you don't know what that is, it's okay. I didn't until like a few years ago. My mastermind group is, there's four of us, that we're all dietitians. We're spread out over around the US, and we all have our private practices. We all do nutrition counseling, and we see a lot of eating disorders. So our mastermind group talk about the business aspect, the insurance, like we'll, if we have questions about all that stuff. And then also we do case studies. So we will bring up we share and like help each other out with that sort of thing. So if you imagine yourself to be going into like kind of a solo practice, like surround yourself with other like-minded people. It's wonderful and needed. So yeah, that's my plug.
Yeah, no, definitely. And as far as like mastermind groups goes, how did you go about getting into your mastermind group?
Yeah, so one of the members was a colleague that she had started her business before I did. And then one of them was a colleague of hers that she used to work with that moved away. And then the last one was someone who she knew, like it was like I knew one and she knew one and she knew one. So like we all came together and we meet they're all structured differently. So you know, if you look at masterminds, you're going to be like, okay, they're all very differently structured. We meet every week on Zoom for an hour. And we often, like sometimes we'll get together, we'll physically get together from all of our places to get together to do like a mastermind weekend where we'll really like focus in on some things, work-wise and case study-wise. So, was that your question? Sorry.
Yeah, no, that was great. That was, yeah. And like, it was very much like, and I feel like, and the reason why I asked more about it is I like, that's a great case example of networking and the benefits of networking and like it actually put into practice, because networking is something that's thrown around a bunch, but you brought to the table a lot of like cookie cutter, like this is how you network, you join a DPG, or like you get involved with like people who are interested in your niche, or you create a mastermind group and things like that. And one thing, and like as far as taking advantage of becoming an RD, I love how you mentioned like you took different courses and you had different webinars. And I think a great thing to highlight out of that as well is like getting additional certifications or get like taking additional courses, especially if you're putting money into it. I think it's important to have the mindset of I am going to use this with XYZ in the future. And like this is going to get put to use in this way in the future, because I feel like a lot of students, especially, they're like, oh, I'm going to get like a CPT certification because that'll look good. Or like, oh, I'm going to like join this because it looks good. Where it's really like, it's great to do those things, but it's even better to do those things if there's a purpose like packed into it as well. And so like, cause like with what you said, you wanted to get better at counseling. And so you took that counseling course. And I mean, that's totally applicable because you own a private practice. That's just counseling. And so it makes total sense. And then like having that eating disorder, like learning course as well, you saw yourself treating a lot more eating disorders. So it made sense to take a course to help enrich and to make you a better private practice owner as well. And so I think that's just a good note to kind of have as well, just for especially if people are listening, where like, yes, it's great to have things that look good on your resume and have things that make you look like a good professional, but like making sure that you don't burn yourself out or that you don't pour money into something that doesn't, that won't be tacked on to anything that you're planning on doing in the future. But I think you have great examples of just all around networking, making the most of that career switch and things like that, which is really, really great. And so we've talked a bunch about just your career switch, what you've been doing in dietetics, advice you have, like literally all across the spectrum from the beginning all the way to where you're at now, which has just been really, really great. But our last question that we typically like to ask people is advice that you would give to students, whether, and you can specify it to like second career or career changers or just to any aspiring dietitian, but what advice would you to students or to people who are wanting to pursue that RD credential?
I understand it's really hard to leave something behind that you've started. If you're wired anything like me, you want to follow it through. You don't want to just stick through it, stick to it. Yeah, I'm not one to change a major in the middle. Like I have friends who changed four times before they graduated, and I'm like, what, you know? So like I'm not one to change a path that I've fixed on, which is really helpful. And if you're on a path that's taking you in the wrong direction, then you got to switch paths. So I'm just going to say there's a lot of compassion for that fear, and that it's really hard to just like change paths, because it almost feels like you're giving up on something, but you're actually giving yourself a chance to do something that you might love, whether it's dietetics or something else, but like, you know, looking at something else. I think it's funny because I would say this to young people, but I was like, I would say it to, you know, anybody who is in a career path that they day in and day out were not finding satisfaction, and there was a lot of burnout, that I would say, like, you can change at any time. Like, there's no timeline. My aunt went back to school to get her PhD when she was 60 or older. I can't remember how old she was, but it was like, to me, she was like, oh my gosh, you're so old and you're doing this thing. I'm like, yeah. At this point, I'm like, do what you love, because this is the one life that you have. And I would say, get as much, talk to as many people in that arena as you can. Cold call, email, listen, watch, like, you know, various magazines or webinars or podcasts will have interviews and things like this. But if you can get someone on the phone where you can kind of like go back and forth, like, that's highly recommend. Because I think the more that you can see yourself in another path, the easier it is to be like, okay, I think I can go in that direction and switch and leave what I'm doing now. If you have the capacity to volunteer in areas, I would volunteer just to get yourself in a different arena. I think just being in a different situation helps your mind like be more fluid. Like, okay, I can see myself in doing something different.
Yeah, and I think that's just a great note to end on, because we touched on a lot of things that you mentioned, like leaning in for support, that networking piece, learning more about yourself, and knowing that there is no, and it's like going back to what we said, where there is no right time. You can do it anytime, and that the only person stopping you is you, like, you know, that type of motivational thing. And I know it's easier said than done, but that's why we love having guests like you who have gone through the process, even maybe multiple times, to just share your experience and say that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that even with those fears, which are completely understandable, that you can still be in a career that you want to be in. But again, yeah, just so many great things in this podcast episode. Thank you so much, Jessica, for sharing your story. And I know no matter if you're a career changer or if you're like, you knew that dietetics was where you wanted to go into, still great information. But again, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.